the Unpacking Peanuts Charles M. Schulz 100th Birthday Spectacular, starring Harold Buckles, Michael Cohen, Jimmy Gownley, and Liz Sumner. Guest starring John Gallagher, Jamar Nicholas, Carolyn Bilewski, Bill Morrison, Barty Bauman, Mark Mariano, Chris Mariano, Steve Conley, and Terry Moore. With additional appearances by William Pepper, Miss Othmar, Jenna Clay, Stephen Lind, Joe Schlopotnik, Todd Webb, Albert, Payson Terhune, and featuring Aziza Shakrala Clark as herself, with theme music by Whitey's Orchestra and the June Taylor Dancers.
Finally, we're here.
That was a long ride. But it's so great Jimmy's hosting a party celebrating Charles Schulz's birthday.
Are you sure this is the right place?
I think so. But the only address on the invitation was the hub of the Ameliaverse, so...
You know, it's occurred to me that Jimmy might be just a touch pretentious.
Oh, I don't think so. All my friends mentioned James Joyce 3 times in a conversation about French fries.
It is a dark and stormy night.
You just come up with that?
This is going to be all night, isn't it?
Guys, you made it. Come on in. Welcome to the Ameliaverse.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, I haven't been to a party since... Actually, I've never been to a party.
Well, make yourselves at home. I think that... Harold, don't touch the Van Gogh.
What, that's real?
Yeah, apparently the Met is real serious about that whole you break it, you buy it policy. So if you want to touch anything, stick with the Andrew Wyeth.
Here you go, Jimmy. We brought something for the party. Mississippi mud pie, get it?
Aw, thanks, guys. I'm so excited you made it. Lots of guests are already here. Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty are in the rumpus room watching old Joe Schlobotnik highlights with Lex Fajardo. Linus is over by the fireplace discussing theology. Let's see. Oh, yeah, and that's Schroeder over there playing the piano.
Schroeder! Oh, boy, is he taking requests?
Lucy is here, too. Miss Othmar, so glad you can make it. So true. Listen, Miss O, I'd like to introduce you to my pals, co-hosts, and fellow cartoonists. This is Mr. Michael Cohen.
Hey there.
And this is Mr. Harold Buckholz.
Hello.
And over there in a headlock from Lucy, that's our producer, Liz Sumner. You're too much, Othmar. Listen, I gotta go check on some stuff. So you guys just, get to know each other.
Well, I...
Hey there, I'm glad you listeners made it too. Getting to spend time with you each week has been awesome, and I'm so glad you're able to make it to the party. When we realized it was Charles Schulz's 100th birthday coming up, we knew we had to celebrate in a way that was fun and joyful and in no way affiliated with or endorsed by Peanuts Worldwide or any of its licensees or affiliates. We're going to have a great time, we're going to talk some comics, visit with friends, old and new, all while we celebrate the birthday of our favorite cartoonist, Charles M. Schulz. Now you guys go mingle. I have some pretty good goop setting up in the fridge, and I don't want it to lose its maximum goopiness.
Bill Morrison. Bill, how are you doing?
I'm good. You didn't know I was going to be here?
No, I did not.
I thought you invited me.
No, this is all Jimmy's thing. He's the one that pulled this all together. I did not know you were going
to
be here.
I'm happy to see you, Harold.
It's great to see you.
It's been a while.
We used to see each other at San Diego, and see, then you were working on like Simpsons comics and like, editing all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I was editing Simpsons comics for, I don't know, over 20 years. Yeah, from the beginning of Bongo all the way to 2012.
You worked on like a revival of Mad, as I remember, right?
Well, it wasn't really a revival. It was more like a revitalization and sort of like a relaunch, reboot. So I presided over that, and we renumbered the magazine, so we started at number one. So I get to say I edited the first issue of Mad magazine.
That's pretty cool.
Only me and Harvey Kurtzman have that distinction.
That's pretty cool. Hey Jimmy, thank you so much for bringing Bill out for the Peanuts event. This is an amazing palatial place that you got here.
Well, you know, he's a legend, and I had to get all the legends under one roof. Hey, so do you have any good Peanut stories, any memories of Peanuts from growing up?
Oh, man, Peanuts. I discovered Peanuts, I think, when I was in second grade. And I had a really good friend His name was Matt Mahoney. And we were both crazy about Peanuts, and our second grade teacher let us, because I had art ability and Matt also had some art ability, we got to do the classroom bulletin boards. You know, like they had those big giant boards in the classroom. And so, you know, it would get changed every month or so, I guess. And usually it was a seasonal thing. So if there was, if it was February, we would do a Valentine's Day theme and whatever. But I remember it was like nonstop Peanuts. Like, it, you know, that was always, what no matter whatever the seasonal theme was, the main thing was always Peanuts. So, you know, like a lot of merchandise came out when I was a kid and when I was in my like prime Peanuts phase. So my bedroom was just festooned with, I had a Peanuts bedspread, drapes, rug, like an area rug.
Trash can.
I had the bank, the Snoopy ceramic bank, where he's on the doghouse.
Snow cone machine?
Had the snow cone machine. I think it was actually my sister's, though. I remember the Red Baron, Snoopy and the Red Baron by the Royal Guardsman. That was one of my favorite records, and I played that all the time. Drove my parents and my older brother and sister crazy with that one. So flash forward, you know, many years later, and I'm editor-in-chief of Bongo Comics, and Charles Schulz is retiring. And I was in the National Cartoonist Society, and sort of a call went out for anybody doing a newspaper strip to do a tribute to Peanuts. And I had been editing the newspaper strip. I hadn't written one. I hadn't drawn one. The great thing about being an editor is you can, you know, assign yourself the really sweet jobs. And so when that came up, that we decided we were going to do a tribute to Peanuts in the Simpsons strip, I thought, okay, there's no way I'm assigning that to somebody else. I'm going to do that one on my own. So the one Simpsons strip I did was the tribute to Peanuts, and I donated the original art to the Schulz Museum.
Have you been able to visit the Schulz Museum?
I did. We Jeannie Schulz is a member of the NCS, and one year we had the Reuben Awards in San Francisco. And as our Sunday kind of farewell party, which is a tradition with the Reuben Awards, Jeannie invited everybody to come up to the museum. We saw a special Snoopy ice show that was just for us.
Wow.
In the arena, the ice arena that's next to the museum. We had a barbecue on the lawn. We got to tour the museum. And it was closed to the public that day, so it was just us, just the cartoonists.
That is so cool. So as an amazing artist and writer, when you look back on the impact of Peanuts on you, what is it that stands out about what Schulz did differently than other cartoonists?
What he did differently, and I think brilliantly, was, as far as I know, I mean, I'm not, even though I was president of the National Cartoonist Society, I'm not really one of those historians that knows all about every strip. But, you know, sort of as a lover of comics and a reader of comics, I don't know of a strip before Peanuts that wasn't sort of, if it was a humor strip, that wasn't just sort of like a setup and gag. He did these wonderful, witty strips that sort of made you think sometimes, made you smile. They weren't necessarily gags. They were just a very authentic slice of life. It was almost like you're watching these kids from behind a tree and they don't know you're there. And you're hearing them, you know, kind of talk like adults, and as kids sometimes do. And the characters were so charming, you didn't, like, if you got to the end of a strip and there wasn't like a big laugh, it wasn't a big deal. Like, you didn't go, oh, that one laid an egg. You were like, you know, you just felt like you were part of this world and, you know, just fortunate to be around these charming characters. And I think a lot of strips have come after that, some more successful than others, that have followed that model. You know, cartoonists who've been inspired by Schulz and who have done that sort of strip where the payoff is sometimes, you know, just something witty or something that makes you smile. I think it's always a constant goal, you know, to do something that affects people's lives and changes their lives. One of my best experiences as a cartoonist, I was at San Diego Comic-Con, and I was standing in the Bongo Comics booth, and a woman came up to me, and she said, "I just want to thank you for doing what you do, you know, for doing Simpsons comics and making them so entertaining." And she was kind of going on, and I just said, "Thank you, that means a lot to me." And she says, no, I want you to understand. What I'm getting at is my son was failing in school. And he was failing because he couldn't read. And it wasn't that he was not smart. He just didn't want to read. There was nothing that interested him. And she said, "I tried everything until one day I was in the supermarket and I saw a Simpsons comic book. And I knew he was crazy about the Simpsons. So I thought, maybe if I buy this comic, he'll read it." So she bought it, took it home. Kid flipped out. And the next thing she knew, he was coming into her going, "Mom, what does this say? What is Homer saying here?" And he just had to know. And she said, before I knew it, he was asking for more comics. He was reading more. He graduated to books without pictures. His grades came up. And she said, "So what I'm thanking you for is you basically saved my child from being put back, you know, grades in school and who knows what else." And I was almost in tears hearing this, you know. And it kind of gets to what you were saying, that, you know, when we do what we do, we don't necessarily know how it affects other people. You know, we think we're doing something entertaining, we're writing jokes, we're writing things that will hopefully make people smile and make, but there are these stories out there that sometimes, you know, you don't know about until somebody walks up to you at a comic convention and tells you about it.
And for that one woman that told you that, imagine how many times that's actually happened and you'll never hear about it.
Never hear about it, yeah.
Thousands, maybe. It's
could
amazing.
Be, yeah. But that's kind of what keeps you going. Yeah.
It's so great seeing you. I hope you get to mill about and you know, around the Zamboni. Miss Othmar has been hanging out, and
I will warn you, Miss Othmar, she's a chatterbox.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Thank you so much for coming. It just means a lot to me.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Hey, Carolyn Bilewski, it's so cool to see you here.
Oh my gosh, how did we run into each other here?
I know. Well, I guess Jimmy has invited us both for the 100th birthday party. We're both big Peanuts fans, right?
Yeah, we're both cartoonists and we're both writers and illustrators.
Yeah, so you're still working on Curls, right?
Yes, I still have the Curls comic strip. I feel like that's going to just be ongoing for as long as I'm here. And
that's cool. Now, is that's online as well, or?
Yes, it started out in my college newspaper and now it's online.
Where do I find it?
Well, the best place to find me right now is my personal website. It's carolynbilewski.com.
Okay. Let me write this down. B-E-L-E-F-S-K-I?
Yes, you got it.
Nailed it.
A few weeks ago was Small Press Expo, yep. And so I want to do something fancy for my booth because I only have a half booth, which is 3 feet. It's really not big at all. It's basically the size of, like, hey, you can just stand in front of a table and then that's it. So I wanted to do something fun for it this year. And so I made Lucy's, psychiatric help. Was that what you called?
That's brilliant.
Was it 5 cents?
No. At the top, I just put, you know, Curl Studio. But then at the bottom, it said the cartoonist is in. So I had the brilliant sign that flips in or out. But and then I did it on Saturday, so it said the cartoonist is in. And then Joe did it on Sunday, so we switched it to say the writer is in. So we flipped it around. But yeah, I had fun painting yellow on cardboard to make that, and it was fun. And then I had a blue dress. I didn't go out of my way to cosplay as Lucy, but, you know, in a way I did because I had a blue dress that I have, and I just put that on and kind of went with the Lucy theme of being
so cool.
Peanuts for Curls. I thought that was really cool to do a booth like that.
So who did you relate to the most in the Peanut strips?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know what? I like Pigpen because I have to say, like, I'm revealing a lot right now. Sometimes I don't shower every single day. Okay?
I don't think, like, that's a secret among a lot of cartoonists.
Oh God. Exactly. I feel like Pigpen does not get as much cred as he needs to.
I agree.
But you know what? I also like Linus too. Cuz oh man, I have heard Charles Schulz say in interviews though he's like a little bit of each of them.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of gravitating towards a couple. But yeah, I like Linus. Linus is classic. You know, he always has good advice. He has a security blanket. He's sucking his thumb. You know, like, he's got things going on for him, you know? And of course, Woodstock is always cool. Jeez, there's just like all of them are cool in their own way. But yeah, I guess if I had to pick a couple, I'd pick with Pigpen and Linus.
How did you encounter Peanuts like first when you were growing up?
I don't remember the exact moment, but probably from the Washington Post, flipping through that, or obviously the Christmas special. That I feel like that, and also the Halloween one too. I'll say those ones are probably pretty prominent.
When you read Peanuts, like what is it that stands out to you that makes it different than all the other strips?
I think the realness. I also think it's not trying to be like too happy-go-lucky. Like you have that Charlie Brown essence where, you know, he's not the most fortunate guy in the world, and he's trying to find his way, and things literally always knock him down, like the football joke, and he keeps going, and that's what life's about. Keep going and see where it leads you.
And it's a great metaphor for us cartoonists. Every single day, it's a new blank white page that you got to fill, you know? And there's no guarantee of success, but you got to do it anyway. Well, hey, thank you for coming to the party, and thank you for doing this chat with us. You know, I'm a huge fan of your work, and I'm just so glad you came here.
I'm a huge fan of both you guys as well, and it's great. Thank you so much for having me at the party.
You're welcome. Anytime, buddy.
Hey, Harold. Happy Charles Schulz's birthday.
Even Lind, oh, it's so good to see you. I've been rereading your book, Charlie Brown Religion, and I have to say, it's fantastic.
Oh, well, thanks, Harold.
Is everything okay? You look shaken up.
Well, I was just talking to Linus, and that kid is intense. He has a lot of strong opinions about end times theology.
Steven, I've been looking for you. Look, I made some candy just for you. Check it out.
Ah, Divinity, my favorite.
Ah, see, I knew you'd like that. Frida, please stop nagging Albert Payson Terhune. Lad, a dog does not chase rabbits.
That's Terry Moore over there. I gotta go say hi. Terry, how you doing? I'm so glad you came to the party. How you been?
Oh, hi, Jimmy. How are you?
You told me a story many years ago. You actually got to meet Charles Schulz, didn't you?
I met Charles Schulz 3 times in one day.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty good.
I know. I met him the first time I was introduced by a mutual friend, but we were in a room full of cartoonists, and most of them were all his friends, so I couldn't get his attention. So he shook my hand, but he was looking at, I think he was looking for Lynn Johnson or something like that. Then so I tried again when we went outside from the National Cartoonist meeting, and I said, hi again, you know, but, you know, one of his other, like Bill Malden was walking by, so I missed out again. And then I saw him that afternoon, and they were about ready to go leave to go get on Craig's plane, and I tried again. I just said, thank you so much for being here, and he looked at me like, who are you? So I met him 3 times in one day.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. What's your relationship to Peanuts? Like, what was it for you when you were growing up, and what's it now?
Oh, I loved it growing up because I love the sense of place. I love the neighborhood. I wanted to live in their neighborhood. It was better than mine. And they had 4 seasons, and I lived in the South when we had 2 seasons. And I don't know. I just loved it. So it was a sense of place. And I realized as I grew up that it was his way of escaping bad news every day in the real world. And as I get older, I find that that's a really useful thing to be able to do.
Well, that's true. It absolutely is. And also just to take those things, those bad things that are unavoidable, and turn them into something else, which is a magic trick that he was able to do.
Absolutely. Every one of the characters in Peanuts got up every morning with a sense of hope and looking forward to what the day would bring. And, I mean, how can you not admire that and learn from that?
Right, even though not one of them ever really got what they wanted. You know, Lucy was never noticed by Schroeder. Charlie Brown never kicked the football. And Linus, the Great Pumpkin, never came. But it didn't stop them from going for it every single day.
That's true. But that's why you love them. That's how you identify with them. Okay, that's my avatar, because that happens to me too. But they keep pushing on, so can I. But I must correct you that actually, I remember Sparky saying that he was sorry that he never let Charlie Brown kick the football. So one time when we all did the big yellow collective book, mm-hmm. I asked permission to draw Charlie Brown kicking the football. And I had permission to do it.
That's very cool. That's impressive. So what was that like for you to do?
Man, it was like I cannot tell you how incredible it was. It was like being able to, I put it right up there with meeting Abraham Lincoln,
And did you meet Abraham Lincoln three times in one day?
No, but if I could, I would. I'm sure if I tried to introduce myself to Abraham Lincoln while he was busy, I would have to try three times. But yeah, I got to kick the football, and that was my contribution to the Peanuts verse.
Oh, well, that's a very, very, very good contribution. And you are like the publisher who has managed to make self-publishing work over a really long haul. There's like two or three at the most that have been able to do that. I mean, one of your secrets is Robin, who is one of my heroes. She is just one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life. But other than that, how have you managed to maintain it?
One of the things is that I really enjoy what I'm doing. I really do want to just sit at that draw table every day and draw. And it goes right back to the very first thing we talked about, which is escape. You know, and the worse the news gets, the better I like sitting at that drawing table, drawing my own version.
I completely relate to that. The pandemic was horrible. I hated to see all the death and all the horrible stuff that went on. But to be able to have the time to just sit and draw quietly and not have to do anything else was kind of amazing in a weird way. We're like the one group of people who were genetically conditioned to be able to withstand the pandemic and the isolation it brought.
When you think about it, if you look at cartooning history, it has flourished during bad times for the world. And it's on the one hand, the creative people needed the escape and just dive into their work. On the other hand, the world needed what the creative people were putting out, whether it's Chopin or, books that make sense of the world, you know, or the cartoons that make people laugh. Seeger became a millionaire during the Great Depression because Popeye became so popular. The world needed the America especially needed the chuckle, the daily chuckle, and they rewarded him richly for it. And he was happy to sit at his drawing table every day. And so it's a good swap.
Yeah, and that's one of the great secrets of Schultz, too. 50 years, every single day, at that drawing table, just making it happen.
And do you realize the era Schultz worked in was constant threat of atomic warfare? And we were all doing atomic warfare drills, putting our head between our knees and to kiss ourselves goodbye. And that's Peanuts was coming out. So kids today look at it and they tell me, well, it just seems it has a little bit of a fatalistic side to it. And I said, you need to know what we were all going through. And he actually lifted our spirits.
Yeah. We did a big discussion about one of the strips where it starts snowing and Linus runs up to Charlie Brown and says he thought it was the fallout.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And it's crazy for a comic strip to go there and be able to do something that makes you feel not alone in the face of, like, annihilation.
Yes. And the closest I have to it today is, you know, you'd have to go with, like, Happiness and Cyanide or The Oatmeal to find that same kind of, like, looking at the bad news straight in the eye and just kind of zinging it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, poke it, you know. I think a good cartoonist pokes the beast.
Yes.
You know, just to irritate it.
Right, right. And since we never leave our studios, we're safe from the beast.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thank you so much for just leaving your studio this one time to come in this party. It means the world to me. For anyone who happens to be listening out there, Terry was my sponsor to get into the National Cartoonist Society, so I'm always, always grateful for that. So just thank you for everything.
I'm just looking for the door out of this room. I was trying to get out of here. Do you know? Point me in a direction.
Look, it's you know what? It'll be easier if I just take you.
Marty Bauman. Hey, Michael, I want to introduce you to Marty here.
Hey, Marty. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm doing Marty's pretty good.
Marty's done it all. He's an illustrator. He's a graphic artist. He's done production design, worked on Disney, Pixar movies. I hear you're working on something with Paul McCartney now. What is that?
Hey, wait. Did someone say Paul McCartney? What's going on? Oh, hey, Marty. How you doing? Glad you can make it.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. You know, he's written some children's books.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was talk of him turning the first one into a movie, and I was doing some visual development. And I'm sitting next to Paul McCartney, he's eating a bagel. And I asked myself, should I tell one of the Beatles he has cream cheese on his chin?
Did you?
I didn't.
What are your thoughts about Schultz? I mean, what do you what's your connection to Schultz? Like growing up, or you know, what kind of stuff do you think of when you think of Charles Schultz?
I think I first appreciated Peanuts when I had a paper route as a kid. And the paper gave it huge play above the fold. every Sunday.
What era would you have been like first reading Peanuts?
Be the early 60s.
Okay.
And looking back, I think the most remarkable thing about Peanuts is that it addresses the simplest thing. Emotions we all share. You know, it addresses hope and disappointment, depression and loss and the delights of life and the sorrows of life, all in the microcosm of this small group of kids who were just like the group of kids that I was a part of, sometimes incredibly cruel to one another. But I don't know if Schultz intended it, but maybe if people today showed more appreciation for the simplest things, there'd be a lot less hatred and indifference and class divide and intolerance. Probably Schultz didn't have that on his mind, but that's kind of what it means to me looking back today. How could something be so profound and so incredibly simple?
Yeah.
Did you find that Schultz influenced you in any way in the things that you've done in terms of like style or approach?
Yeah. You can draw something and go back and start taking out lines. Mm. For some reason, the part of my brain that should be balancing a checkbook or reading Dostoevsky is instead crammed with meaningless trivia.
Good grief.
So, yeah, I'm a blockhead, man. So I've been a musician all my life. So when I was quite young, I was visiting the little girl who lived next door. And she said, "This is my favorite record." And she put on Snoopy versus the Red Baron by the Royal Guardsmen. So they're just this band out of Florida. They're exploiting the British invasion sound, and they had some minor hits. But I think Snoopy and the Red Baron went to number two.
Wow.
It was when I heard that song, that's when I first became aware of the Peanuts explosion. I was noticing greeting cards and toys and books and advertising and records and candy and lunchboxes and the Ford Falcon, MetLife Insurance, NASA. NASA gave out the Silver Snoopy Award for safety. Johnny Carson put up Happiness is a Dry Martini. Illustrated by Whitney Darrow, if you guys know who that is. Wow. And you may know this story. Wally Wood, who drew the most detailed buttons and belts and clasps and helmets, spaceship interiors to an obsessive degree, and constantly working on several jobs simultaneously. I heard that someone asked him if he had it to do over, what would he do? And he said, "I draw like Charles Schultz."
Did Wood do some Schultz parodies for Mad Magazine?
Funny you should ask, because actually they did. What if the Peanuts characters talk like adults?
Yeah.
And it's funny you said that, because I was looking into that. Schultz contributed to Mad Magazine.
When?
Just in the early 60s, and he did a purposely lame cartoon for them, and he wrote this. Let me read this to you. It's a picture of him standing next to Charlie Brown, blushing, and Schultz wrote, "This is the sort of comic strip I've secretly longed to do. When one is involved in drawing a strip like Peanuts, which demands so much research, and has such detailed characterization, intricate backgrounds, ornate costuming, and complicated plots, one naturally looks with envy upon those who draw simple strips. I sometimes spend hours on one particular panel in order to achieve just the right lighting, action, and dramatic effect. By drawing in a much simpler type of strip, I would be able to give up having to use reference photos and pose live models." And next to it, he drew a strip. It's just a flower. A leaf falls next to the flower and sighs. And the flower says, "Stupid leaf." And
Wow.
So he was self-deprecating to it.
Yeah, and he was such a huge comic book fan. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that he did something for Mad, because Mad was like it in that period. I mean, they were selling upwards of 2 million copies in the 60s and early 70s. So.
Well, he draws Alfred E. Newman into the strip.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Well, Marty, thank you so much for coming to the party. I mean, it's so good to see you. You're a massive talent. Have you availed yourself of any of the snacks over there? There's mud pie. There's definitely goop. There's some Snicker snacks, a party mix. So, you know, make yourself at home. Quaff a few root beers. Stick around and mingle. Lots of good people here.
Well, I noticed Michael didn't talk to me. So
Michael never talks to any of the guests, if you notice that.
I'm not offended.
Is that Chris Mariano?
That is Chris. Hey, wait, let's see if we can get over to see him. We'll have to get around the Zamboni.
Whoa, guys, what's up? How you doing? You know, I tried to get over to talk to you guys, but it just, there's so many people here. This is like, this party is amazing. Well, thanks so much for inviting us. This place is great. We were planning on dressing up as the caterers to sneak in. But then they changed their outfits last minute, and I had my mustard jacket, and they had their champagne red jackets on.
It's not a mistake. That is
You knew. The word got out. So I popped on the blue corduroy that I usually wear at the Kids Love Comics section at conventions, and now we're here at the party.
You are always welcome in the Ameliaverse.
So yeah, what are your memories of Peanuts? What was that like a thing when you were a kid?
The one thing I remember is just reading the stories of, like, how Charlie Brown was always so misunderstood, and I felt horrible for him. But then, like, his friends would just always just look at him at a different way than what I saw Charlie Brown.
How did you see him?
I saw him a little bit, and I think we all can. I was talking to someone else earlier here, and we were saying the same thing, where we all felt like we all had a little Charlie Brown in us, where we all feel like, oh, I've been there. I've been there. That football being yanked away. And that football was just like, it wasn't a football. It was parts of your life that would be yanked away right in front of you. You know, I forgot who it was. I was just talking to someone by the punch bowl, and they had something that was really smart where they're like, each character represents a different stage of my life. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm at a party, and I didn't think I would hear something this deep.
Yeah, well, punch will do that to you.
But again, I can't thank you guys enough for inviting us. This party's amazing.
So do you relate to Charlie Brown the most, you think?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I think it depends on what's going on in my life, and that's how I relate to which character. You know, like Pigpen. We've all been there. We've all been there. We all felt like...
I'm there now.
We all feel like... I feel like a Pigpen right now. I don't want to be around people. I just feel so... You know, I'm a mess. But then, you know, honestly, and I don't know if I can pick this as a character who I felt like the most, Linus's blanket.
I picked Charles Schulz as my favorite character, so you can definitely pick Linus's blanket.
I feel like Linus's blanket.
You feel hugged?
I feel security to the ones you love?
I think that's what it is. And then plus, I just feel the need to be wanted.
Well, you're wanted here, and we, as two of the founders of Kids Love Comics, feel very secure knowing how hard you and your brother work to make sure that we're still out in the world and being successful.
Yeah, you've done us proud, and you've continued a legacy that wouldn't have continued with us, so, you know, we needed somebody to, you know, see a vision and follow it through.
Well, to be 100% honest, none of this would have happened without you guys. Like, you guys laid down the groundwork for something that's really blossomed for all of us, where... We're doing Kids Love Comics all over the United States. And with that, it's inspiring new artists. Who knows if we have the next Peanuts out there because of Kids Love Comics, because of you guys.
How do I find out? Like, is there like a website I can go on to see which ones you're at?
There is, yeah. You can join us at kidslovecomics.com, and we're on all the social medias, too. But thank you so much for having us to this party. This party's amazing.
I also have some fantastic goop, and there's mud pies for everybody. So quaff some root beer, have some punch, and enjoy yourself.
I think I'm on my, like, fourth or fifth root beer right now. This stuff is amazing.
We did save some bacon-wrapped olives for you, too.
Perfect. Thank you so much, guys. You guys know how to throw a party.
Oh, it's Jimmy. It's all Jimmy.
Well, I'm famous for my joviality and hospitality.
Hey, Michael. Excuse me.
William Pepper, how goes the podcast game?
Well, you know how it is. On the one hand, hosting It's a Podcast, Charlie Brown, has been a joy. But on the other, the fame can be a crippling burden. But I guess it's worth it to talk about peanuts. Do you know where I can put these things?
What are they?
The caterer just dropped them off. Looks like 50 bundles of French fries wrapped in rubber bands.
Oh, perfect. Great. Here, I'll take those over to the snack table. You know, it's funny. All these French fries actually remind me of something James Joyce once said.
See?
I think it was when he was in Trieste. And, you know, the war was coming up.
Oh, look! Whitey's combo is warming up, and Snoopy's gonna dance!
Hi, everybody. This is Harold. While this is going on, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge our sponsor, the letter W. Whether it's warm weather on the weekend or a wistful wave from a willowy woman, the letter W always works well. Sometimes rounded, sometimes pointy, always wonderful. So the next time you're spelling, remember W. W. It's twice as good as you. Now back to the show.
Oh, Harold, can you help me get some Snicker snacks out to the snack table here? I got a little Puppy Chow style mix going on, so come with me.
I'll go back to the kitchen with
you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Thanks.
That's fine.
Oh, wait, look who it is.
What? Jamar Nicholas.
Yo! You have a new book out from Scholastic, and it is crushing it, I hear. It's beautiful. Thank you.
It's called Leon the Extraordinary, out by Scholastic Graphics. I'm very proud. It's the first in a series.
Very exciting. Ooh,
yeah.
But hey, so this is obviously a peanuts party for Charles Schulz's 100th birthday. So I just want to know, what do you think about Mr. Schulz and peanuts? Where was that in your life growing up? What did it matter to you? What was it?
Oh, you know what? Peanuts was such a seminal part of my childhood. And, you know, it's funny because I'm the black guy here. I'm not sure you realize that. when we talk about peanuts, a lot of people always ask me about Franklin. Right, and I'm like, bro, yeah, Franklin was cool, but, you know, I didn't really like his haircut, but okay. But, you know, I know that Schulz it seemed to be a really strong-minded person who just wanted to do good things in the world, and even including a character like Franklin was just like, well, of course we need that.
Right.
You know, I don't think there was any more mechanics behind it than that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I commend him for that, and I love the legacy he's left on the world.
For sure. Well, you're making your own legacy, absolutely, as we speak. So before I let you go, 17,897 strips. That's how many Schulz did. How many pages do you think we're going to get of Leon? Is it going to clock in close to that?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Excellent.
I'm going to do N1.
N1, that's the way to go.
Show them how it's done.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks, all guys.
Excuse me, guys. Can you tell me where the bathroom is?
Mark Mariano, how you doing? I'm
Jimmy.
So glad you could make it.
Good.
Thank
to
you.
See
you.
Sorry.
You know, I talked to Chris earlier.
Oh,
he was
nice.
Around.
He's
so
around. Where is he? I can't. I can't find anything.
Hiding
here.
From his brother. I'm not sure. But
that
anyway.
Sounds like him. That sounds like him.
So what are you up to these days?
Well, man, I'm just happy to be here. I had a brand new book out. It's called Loud Cow, about a cow that's very loud, and her sister Quiet Cow goes missing, and together they have to go on this grand adventure looking for her. So it's been zany and it's been fun. I had a lot of big blasts doing the artwork for that one, so it's been really fun.
So you write and draw?
Write and draw that one. Yeah, it actually was created hearing my son and my wife, they're playing all these different games, and the one thing he said was, "Loud cow, get out of the road." And so right there, that's all I needed to hear. And then we created this whole zany story. So.
That's fantastic. How do I get a hold of it? Where do I go?
You can go to marianobros.com. Find it there, and it's also available on Amazon.
Nice. Okay.
And I just have to say, I'm a huge fan of your work. I think you're a fantastic cartoonist, a completely unique talent, and I've just been overjoyed to watch your growth and your progression over these years, and I'm so thrilled you'd come to the studio and hang out for the night.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And one thing that always sticks with me that you said is your newest work is always your best work, and I do agree with that. Like, here I am talking about Loud Cow and being my favorite work And who knows? I'm sure my next book's going to be my favorite work. So.
Quiet Cow sequel? Get her own book?
There is, yes. There is a Loud Cow sequel in the works right now, developing in my head as we speak. So I'm very excited to put it down on page because it looks amazing in my mind.
So you look a little distracted while we're hanging out. We know what's going on inside.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. If I start mooing, you know what's going on.
So we've been chatting with people about Charles Schulz and Peanuts. Tell me a little bit about what your relationship with that strip is like.
Oh, I think as everybody, our first introduction would probably be the comic strips in the newspaper. And growing up, you know, obviously I would check out the newspapers. But of course, Sunday Comics had the color strips, and that's I would always want to read that one. And then the specials, you know, the Halloween special and the Christmas specials are among my favorite. And now I get to share that with my son, and he's a big fan of it as well. So I just love the imagination that's brought through it. One of my biggest thing is Snoopy and his doghouse and his imagination, and I just love the way that's always portrayed. So
which is Snoopy the character you identify most with, or who would you say that is?
I would have to say it's either between Snoopy, Linus, or Linus's blanket.
No, expand on the Linus's blanket.
Well, you are the second person to pick Linus's blanket when really? We've asked them that, yes.
Don't tell me Chris was the other one.
What, was it Chris?
It might have been.
I think it might have been Chris's blanket, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Oh, I don't know, you know, because I do remember Chris having a blanket, I think.
Yeah.
So he may have. I think
you guys have been brothers your whole life, then?
Since 1980, that's yes. Yeah.
Did he make a sport jacket out of it?
Yes, of course, of course. I don't know. I just think Linus, you know, he always seems so innocent, but always insecure in a way. And I think a lot of us can relate with that. And I see that a lot with a lot of artists that, you know, when you first meet them, they're very closed in and they don't really want to share a lot of their work. And I see that with a lot of kids when we're doing these programs at the conventions. And when they do share, I say, thank you so much for sharing, because I know how brave that is and how it takes a lot for someone to share. So,
and Linus's blanket, how do you relate to Linus's blanket?
I think everyone always needs someone to hold you.
That's so sweet, yeah.
Thank you. You know, people might think of it as just a strip about kids, but I think we all know it's much deeper than that. So it really was inspiring to me and continues, you know. I love watching the stuff with my son, and I pick up the Peanuts collection, and he's reading it as well, and, you know, we discuss the different things, and he always loves when she's always called sir. Yes, sir. So he always is cracking up about that.
Well, I'm just so glad he came to the party. You know what? We got to hang out, talk a little bit more, maybe play a game. What do you come over here, and we'll see what we can do. And
I guess I could, but can you show me where the bathroom is? Oh,
we are so sorry, Mark. I know.
We do have to go.
Sorry, it's right here past the Andrew Wythe.
Come on. Oh, awesome. Wow.
Oh, hey, Jenna Clay.
Hey, Michael.
Good to see you, and thanks again for coming on to talk about the little red-haired girl. That was a fun episode.
Are you kidding? I was proud to represent. Hey, by the way, Jimmy asked me to DJ the after party. Can I run my set list by you?
Sure.
Okay, so we start with Redhead Walking by R.E.M. Then boom, Springsteen, Redheaded Woman, right? Can't miss. But see, then I think we go mellow, you know? A little Mr. Willie Nelson with Redheaded Stranger.
Jenna?
Yeah?
Do I detect a theme?
Nope.
Hey, Harold, how's it going?
John, how you doing? John Gallagher, look at my gosh. That's so cool. I knew you were coming, but I did not see you yet.
John's here. You know, he didn't RSVP because you text him. You never hear back. You never hear back. He doesn't call. He doesn't write.
That never gets old, I'll tell you. But, you know, I love this place. I just got a snow cone from the giant Snoopy snow cone maker.
Ooh, and, what flavor?
It's red, but I don't know if it's really, like, cherry or anything. So, yeah, I'm so excited to be here. And, I mean, it's, like, celebrating such a good event.
It is. It's great. But what you're talking about, great events. You've had like 15,000 books come out in the last 2 years. What's going on with
you? That's right. Well, I've been creating the Max Meow Kids graphic novel series. It's about a superhero cat and his best friend who's a super scientist. A lot of super going on. And they fight crime in the city of Kittyopolis. And it's, you know, it's funny because when I first came up with the idea, I had to kind of adjust my art. And in some ways, Schulz's sort of simplicity, but roughness to his brush stroke, all that influenced me as I was working on Max Meow.
We were talking about how that element of looseness just makes something come alive. Not just in Schultz. I mean, obviously you see it in Schultz, but it really does work with this type of artwork.
Oh, and Schultz had that great consistency to his line. It seems like it's so random, but there was, you know, that's what makes it so beautiful.
Yeah, it's like you think about the artwork. You're essentially forced to kind of go to the essence of something, right? You have to, everything that's unnecessary just kind of falls away, and then you find the core of what you're actually trying to do.
Right, exactly. And I mean, that even carried over to the animated specials for Peanuts. And like, I just think about like the sound effects were kind of off. The drawing could kind of feel off in the Christmas special. But it was the Halloween special that really affected me. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I want to hear this. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that, so I grew up, looking back now, I'm sure that even my friends thought of me as very, like, naive. And I did grow up, like, comics were kind of my moral basis. So it's like, I believed in truth, justice, and the American way. So when I'm watching the Peanuts special and Linus with such conviction is talking about the Great Pumpkin, I wanted to believe. And I honestly, it was like, till the fifth year, I really thought the Great Pumpkin was going to show up at the end. Even though I knew he wasn't going to show up, but I just kept hoping. And when Sally gets so mad at him at the very end when the Great Pumpkin does not show up, spoiler alert, you know, I was like, I felt bad. I felt like I was getting scolded because there were so many times where I kind of fell for stuff that people tried. And, you know, growing up, I was the kid that always carried a blanket around. And, you know, so I had a lot of Linus in me. And just he was so pure of heart. And that's what I wanted to be. Although I probably, like, there was plenty of Lucy to go around inside me.
Yeah, I do a podcast with two Linuses, so I have to be Lucy. Otherwise, it would be intolerable.
That's great. Well, you know, can never underestimate the power of being negative about things. Because you're going to be right probably most of the time.
A good percentage, you will be right. What's your favorite Snoopy persona? If you had to pick one of them, like Fighting Ace, writer, grocery clerk, whatever.
I think like a lot of people, the Fighting Ace really scared me in the cartoons. But in the comic strip, talking about the comic strip, I really appreciate that. I liked him as the writer, though, because he'd be sitting there, he's so thoughtful, and just the lettering of that, the typewriter lettering, to this day, sort of like really, you know just what that sounds like. You know, they say sometimes you can smell the art, you can hear the art, I can hear typewriting, and there's always some of the best jokes. And I feel like Schultz got to do something more, even more literary in a way, with that satire. Sometimes they would show him with like the big stack of bones and he's chewing the bones while he's typing. And I'm like, it wasn't until I was much older that I'm like, is this like a reference to like the writer who's smoking cigarettes, smoking and he's focused
or whatever.
And, or potato chips in my case. Oh, I was just going to say, that's another great thing is, Schultz could always take tragedy, but somehow make it heartwarming, funny, and also like you could tell he cared.
Yep. Hey, Marcy, Five, what's up? Oh, Franklin, Jose Peterson was looking for you earlier. And Franklin, when you see your dad, thank him for his service for me. All right.
Hey, Jimmy, got a second?
Sure, Michael, what's up?
Well, this whole real people mingling with cartoon characters is violating a lot of my internal rules. It's really messing with my OCD.
Obsessive cartoonist disorder. Right. Yeah, no. Well, we're pretty committed to the bit at this point. I mean, it's just a podcast. Maybe could you just suspend disbelief?
I can't suspend disbelief anymore. My belief was revoked in 1978.
Oh, I know. What if I write in a line at the end saying how this was all just a dream? That way, no realities are blurred, no rules have been broken, everything's okay.
I guess that could work. Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
Great. Then that's what we'll do. Now, go enjoy the rest of the party.
Okay. Hey, Violet, I got a question for you.
Steve Connelly is doing the middle age right now. I can't believe he came to the Peanuts party. That's so cool.
Hey, of course he came to the party. You know, this is an A-list party. Guys.
Hold on. Looks like Steve's finishing up a conversation. Let's see if we can get in there.
Yeah, I'd rather never talk to you ever again. Harold, it's so good to see you.
Oh, hey, Steve. How's it going?
Very, very good.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. Like I was talking my ear off.
Steve, so do you have any memories of Peanuts? I mean, what is this party kind of evoking for you?
Peanuts was probably the most important comic growing up for me. Absolutely the most important. It was my favorite. It was everywhere that I could get out of the library. It was in the newspaper. And most importantly, when I was very, very young, my grandmother would cut out of the newspaper every single day and glue into a composition notebook. You know, those ones with the black and white marble front cover. And she would assemble that. And it would be my gift. That would be a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. And I would get these composition notebooks just full of peanuts. And it was like, it was my diet growing up. It's what I had food. I had school. But my favorite was that book and how beautiful those stories were, how funny they were, how a character like Schroeder could exist, who I could identify with in a big way.
What was it about Schroeder?
I don't know. The head down, unable to deal with someone who is who might be interested in you and you don't know how to react whatsoever, you know? That just awkwardness.
Oh, I can relate to that.
Yeah, and the focus. I mean, what is there a lot of... Are there other characters like that in fiction?
No, I don't really think so. And you find that like again and again in Peanuts. There are these just unique little things that he somehow managed to put on the page. It's amazing.
So what years were you getting those composition book strip cutouts?
Maybe 76 through 80, maybe 82. Yeah, Peanuts just meant the world to me. And the funniest thing, I'm absolutely certain I wouldn't be doing comics if not for Peanuts. Absolutely certain.
Amazing. Yeah, me too. I can certainly say the same for me.
I'd say the same. Yeah, absolutely. It's just we're just in awe. I think that's why we've been doing the podcast is we're trying to understand how Schultz made such an impact on us. We're still unpacking it.
Yeah, and I'm so glad this podcast exists. You all are great. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. And I know you're working on some new stuff. The Middle Age has been doing really well.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to read The Middle Age, it's available on Go Comics, the same site as Peanuts, which was a huge reason why I wanted to be on Go Comics, to be, you know, at least, I don't know, my pixels are near his pixels. And
Peanuts adjacent.
And so, you can read it on Go Comics and on my own website, middleagecomic.com.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful. And so did you read Peanuts stuff? Like, did you ever have access to the books, like older stuff? Or were you pretty much focused on that time growing up when they were in the papers?
Just whatever the library had. You know, Happiness is a Warm Puppy, all those books, whatever the library had. I didn't even think about it as a continuity. I didn't think about it. I just knew it was there. It was like the state was there, the country was there, Peanuts was there. It was just a given that... It existed, and I never really thought about it in any other way. So I wouldn't even have thought to go back and look for it.
Well, it's awesome, and I am just so happy that you would even come to our party. You're one of my favorite cartoonists in the world, and one of my favorite people in the world, and I'm just honored that you would hang out in the Ameliaverse and talk about Peanuts with us.
Thanks for the invitation. I don't get out much.
I don't get out at all, which is why I had people come to me.
That's right, yeah. Well, this is just a beautiful party, Jimmy. I don't know how you pulled it off, but it's just amazing, and the caliber of people here is blowing me away.
Oh, and there's more to come.
I heard Bob Odenkirk might be here. I'm going to look around.
On. There's somebody dressed like a cow.
Hang on, we have to discuss this, because we were talking a little bit earlier over by the fireplace, and he has a Unpacking Peanuts conspiracy theory. Who do you think Michael sounds like?
I think Michael is played by Bob Odenkirk.
The best.
It's all good, man.
Oh, I just got a message from Aziza. She couldn't come to the party because it's past her bedtime, but she wanted to say this.
Happy birthday, Mr. Schultz. Don't forget to say me a bowl of Snickers
snacks. Thanks, Aziza.
Hey, everybody, can I have your attention, please? The party has reached its conclusion, but before we all go our separate ways, the hosts of Unpacking Peanuts would like to say a few words.
Well, when I look at Peanuts, I see a profound statement about the human condition and one of the great artistic achievements of the 20th century. It's a work that can't be summed up in just a few words, but it's brilliant and deep, and I'm glad I got to see it unfold.
Harold?
When I see a Peanuts strip, I feel seen. I think many of us feel seen. We see ourselves in the characters with their struggles, and we're given dignity. It says, I see you, I witness you. And so we witness the art back. We honor it for honoring us.
Uh-huh. That's very good. And Jimmy, how about you? What do you see?
Well, I was going to say I saw a ducky and a horsey, but I changed my mind.
Unpacking Peanuts is copyright Jimmy Gownley, Michael Cohen, and Harold Buchholz. Produced and edited by Liz Sumner. Music by Michael Cohen. Additional voiceover by Aziza Shakrala Clark. For more from the show, follow Unpack Peanuts on Instagram and Twitter. For more about Jimmy, Michael, and Harold, visit unpackingpeanuts.com. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for listening.
In the dark days of December, at the end of the year, when hope's just an ember, then be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, yes, be of good cheer. When hope's just an ember, then be of good cheer.
When there's thunder and lightning, we cower in fear. Although it is frightening, just be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, yes, be of good cheer. Although it is frightening, just be of good cheer.
We can offer some comfort,
so shed not a tear.
There's a future of some sort, so be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer, yes, be of good cheer. There's a future of some sort, so be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, yes, be of good cheer. There's a future of some sort, so be of good cheer.